RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday morning, off and running, 10 a.m. in Richmond, Virginia. Rainy Tuesday out there. Stay safe wherever you are driving around. Just settle in. Download the Odyssey app. Start a nice fire. Enjoy the program. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, will be with you till noon. Awad takes over then. He'll be here till 3. Grant and Danny will take you home this evening. We're going to get nerdy in a few minutes. Next segment, 10:15. We're going to talk about general manager candidates for the Washington Commanders. Been making some phone calls, some inquiries. Josh Harris, who was talking to me yesterday in Ashburn. Now I'm in Richmond. He's in Miami this morning. We'll tell you who he's talking to. He's starting the interview process already. Quick start there. Obviously, they know what they're looking for, and they're going out to get it. So we'll talk about those things. VCU basketball tonight. They are 4-point underdogs up in Fairfax at George Mason. Did not have that on my bingo card a few weeks ago. We'll dive into what's gone wrong for the Rams, how they can fix that, and what they need to do to get on the right side of the win column. This is the first time they've been 0-2 in conference play since 1998. Been a minute since VCU has struggled this much out of the gate. 26 years. It's 2024 now. That's an issue, and a very important road game tonight as they try to get right early in the schedule. We'll talk about the football scene, playoffs brewing, trouble in Philadelphia, trouble with the New York Giants, who are not in the playoffs. Their defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, is semi out the door. We'll review that situation. And, of course, last night's college title game. But first, JC, it is raining outside. We have referenced that.
Yeah.
As a public service, we need to say schools are canceled 2 hours early today.
That is correct.
I've seen a lot of things in my day. I've been around for a minute. Schools get canceled for snow. Schools get canceled for ice.
These are understandable
schools
conditions.
Get canceled for power outages.
Uh-huh.
Events got canceled when there was all that smoke in the air.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We had an earthquake like 10 years ago. I'm sure schools canceled for that after the earthquake. This is a new one to me. Schools out early today, JC, because it's raining.
Because it's real wet out here.
Because it's raining.
Oh, you know, it's just bad out there.
I feel like Alan Iverson. We ain't talking about snow. They talk about snow and mucks up the roads. We talk about rain. Talk about practice. Talk about rain. What are we doing?
Yeah, man. I don't know if it's completely justifiable here. I mean, again,
I know that it's not completely justifiable here. It's raining. It's raining. Do we just cancel society now when it gets wet?
Well, also,
what happens in Seattle? Seattle's like for a long time, right? You got like, I moved here from Buffalo. Like we went to school in 7 feet of snow. Like that's because you're insane. You're insane to live in Buffalo. You have like all the equipment and the plows and the snowmobiles. Like we cancel school because nobody should be out in that. Like nobody should live in those conditions.
Shout out to my Uncle Dave.
From
New York,
upstate New York. Our guy Lane Castadina, who's on with us Thursday.
Hey.
He's a Rochester guy. Seattle's going to be there like, oh, we pride ourselves on going to school in the rain. It gets wet. We don't get scared. We just put on a poncho. Who has this kind of technology to withstand rain?
It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I agree. It's school's out 2 hours early today in the Richmond area.
It's raining. That is, I mean, because again, you said, like, did you ever go home for rain?
Unaware of that.
I grew up in the 90s, buddy. No, of course not.
We had school canceled for snow. We'll get, like, the 70-year-olds will call in, right? Like, back in my day, we walked uphill and bare feet in the snow. Like, yeah, good for you. That, it was dumb then, and it's dumb now. Like, when it gets icy, we're gonna bag school. That's a sensible thing to do.
Old man yells at cloud energy.
And that's me now. I'm the old man. I'm yelling at the kids. I'm 38. I'm not old enough to be the old man yet. Back in my day, when it rained, we used a thing that's called an umbrella, and we put it over our heads, and we didn't get wet, and we went to school anyway. Sometimes we got wet.
Oh, my gosh.
2 hours early today, because it's raining.
And I hate to be that, because now I'm getting there, too. Are these kids soft?
These kids are absolutely soft.
Are they soft?
Oh, no question.
Because I was the soft one. Growing up, like, oh, you kids are soft, and now I'm feeling the same thing.
You were soft as a kid?
No,
you were hard as a kid.
That's what they said. No. That's what the older generation said about us growing up, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the older generation's always going to say, it just feels like rain is a bridge too far.
We're not going to have a soft and hard discussion on the air. That's not...
It's raining.
It's raining, Michael.
It's raining outside. I used my windshield wipers on my way to the studio. That was my rain prevention technique.
There you go.
Worked pretty well.
There are many. I wore
Made
a rain
here.
Jacket. I even wore boots because I'm feeling extra threatened by the rain.
I don't have boots. I gotta step up my rain game if this
you
is gonna be
get
a thing.
Pair of boots.
We're gonna be the kind of society. Maybe I don't need to buy boots though. Why are we here? We should be out 2 hours early. I'm gonna talk to Zach about this.
We only
this
have 2 hours, Michael.
This is unfair working conditions. I should be allowed to go home 2 hours early. How long's this show?
2 hours.
Oh, that works out. All right, I'm in. National title game last night. Michigan, your national champs. Jim Harbaugh gets sent off to the NFL in style. Presumably, got to see his whole family there. He was the last Harbaugh without a natty. He was pretty funny about that after the game.
I get to sit at the big person's table now. That feels really good. To be the only coach in your own family that, you know, hasn't won a national title or Super Bowl, the championship. That feels great personally.
I want to like this more because it's a decent story. He's kind of a quirky dude, and he got a great team there at Michigan, and the family dynamics and all, you know, family of champions. I can't.
Jim and John Harbaugh.
And their dad as well.
Also
a winner. I can't do it, though, because, I mean, he has been so unbearable about the cheating the whole way and doubled down on it last night. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Off the field issues, we're innocent. And we stood strong and tall because we knew we were innocent. And I just like to point that out. And these guys are innocent. And yeah, overcome that. It wasn't that hard because we knew we were innocent. So yeah. That's really what I wanted to say. It went exactly how we wanted it to go. It went exactly how we wanted it to go.
He suspended for 3 games, was, I mean, guilty in the court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We recapped the stories as it went. There was a document trail. You weren't innocent. That's not what happened here. You were a good football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were a good football
team.
And yeah, you were a good football team. And the best football team. Of the season, and nobody can take that away from you. But the whole America hates us, like we're more motivated than ever. It's because you cheated. That's why.
I'm not feeling any sympathy for that right there.
Yeah. And good for Michigan. Good for the kids. It's a good football team. And the better team won last night. Fully deserving champions.
Sure.
I'm curious about Harbaugh in the NFL. Obviously, he's going to have a ton of suitors. The Commanders have reached out with interest, as have a number of other teams. I think he'd be a great fit in Atlanta. I think he'd be a great fit with the Chargers. I think he'd win anywhere he goes. You talk about so much of yesterday. We'll play Josh Harris later in the show. So much of yesterday in Ashburn was, we're building a culture. We're building a sustainable winning culture. Harbaugh's a winner. He's winning, but that's not sustainable. I don't think that's sustainable at the NFL level at all. And he wore out his welcome pretty quickly in San Francisco. And I don't think he's mellowed at all since then, but he's undeniably a winner. That part is not up for debate. And he's a champion as of last night. And now picks his NFL destination or becomes the richest coach in the history of American sports. If he wants to stay at Michigan, that offer is on the table for him. Washington backup Dylan Morris is on the move as well. He'll be JMU's quarterback next year.
Right.
Now that the game's over, he heads out to Harrisonburg. JMU's got itself a quarterback. I love that because I've been grousing for the past few weeks. A lot of Holy Cross kids transferring in,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, blind trust in Bob Chesney. We gotta trust Chesney
at this point.
We have to trust Bob Chesney, but I like getting a kid from Washington more than getting a kid from Holy Cross.
Of course. That's what you want to see.
That's what you want to see. Our guy Bob Chesney winning off the field. And this, I feel like this snuck under the radar yesterday. Everything snuck under the radar yesterday because we were live in Ashburn and a lot of things happened. We had a ton of friends on yesterday's show, by the way. I was in the room in Ashburn and I asked Mark Davis, do you want to come in? And then Craig Hoffman was like, well, can I come in? And we just, you know, we loaded up. It was fun. It was like doing Radio Row kind of in miniature out there.
Right.
But we slept on Tiger Woods in Nike, headed in for a breakup yesterday. Tiger Woods is no longer a Nike endorser. That's all right. That's all right if we don't have that. It's just this is like the iconic Tiger moment when he chips in on 16 at Augusta in 2005. This is Vern Lundquist's best moment, too. We love Uncle Vern. His reaction to this and letting the crowd play it out. Tiger Woods is no longer a Nike guy. He made over $500 million endorsing Nike. I would guess Nike did okay along the way. Kind of one of those things, like, I don't have a take here other than it feels like a really big deal. Like, him and Jordan were kind of the iconic Nike athletes.
Oh, man. Jordan's...
Nike's getting out of golf. That's the reasoning here. They don't need a golf endorser. I never viewed Tiger as a golf endorser. I always just viewed him as a really, really famous dude.
Yeah, right.
Interesting call. Here's Tiger at Augusta in 2005.
Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Uncle Vern making the call as the Nike ball just rolls into the hole. I mean, maybe the most iconic shot in golf history.
I will say, I didn't watch a lot of golf, but Tiger was it.
You see that mental image as soon as you hear that clip. All-timer. As promised, we're getting nerdy on the way back. Commanders, general manager, candidates, baby. Let's go. Lots more fun as well. VCU basketball. Kobe Turner... you are defensive tackle. Is he the defensive rookie of the year in the NFL? This one kind of snuck up on us. Certainly demands a segment, though, and a little bit more on Eric Bieniemy because the players had some thoughts about him yesterday. Off and running on a Tuesday. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Back at it on a Tuesday morning, 10:18, outside the rainy 910 The Fan studios. We will not be dismissing 2 hours early. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it, folks. We're going the distance for you. Even though it's raining, it's not wet in the studio at all. But even though it's raining, we will overcome the adversity. Josh Harris chatted with us yesterday, and Ashburn kicked off the coaching search. The general manager search was very clear, and I think very correct. He would like to hire a general manager and then have that person hire the coach. But I also thought this was just really smart of him, and that this was something I enjoyed hearing from Josh Harris, that he said several times he's flexible to talent, which I just think is great. Like, he's not hiring a general manager definitely and then getting a coach definitely. He's seeing who's out there, and he's seeing how their talents fit the structure of the building. Here's Josh Harris on what this process is going to look like.
Yeah, so we're looking for the best people to build an elite franchise that's going to consistently compete and win championships. So that's kind of our goal. In terms of the structure, obviously, I start with talent. You want the best talent. And sometimes, you know, you let the talent just sort of influence the structure. But my orientation, obviously, is that being the head of football operations, being in essence in that lead role, that's an 80-hour-a-week job. Being a head coach, that's an 80-hour-a-week job. I think there are two roles there. And so I think it's harder. I mean, there are certainly individuals that control everything. I think it's increasingly hard. So my orientation is not to do that. But on the other hand, I'm going to really be somewhat flexible around talent.
There it is, flexible around talent. I don't think there are individuals who control everything anymore. I think that's a myth. You always ask people, like, who are these people? Belichick, sure, who's on his way out in New England. And then Pete Carroll, well, he's got John Schneider in Seattle, a famous talent evaluator. Andy Reid in Kansas City. No, Andy Reid's always had strong general managers behind him and strong talent evaluators behind him. Like, it's a myth that this exists. Jim Harbaugh might get it if somebody's trying to woo him to the NFL. If he's smart, he'll realize that's a bad idea. If anything, what Pete Carroll and Andy Reid are doing is taking the credit for what other people are doing, more so than working 280-hour-a-week jobs. But I agree. You find the talent, you work it in. As promised, where in the world is Josh Harris update here? The guy gets around more than Carmen Sandiego, and I think will here in the coming days. He is in Miami this morning. He is talking with Kansas City Chiefs assistant general manager Mike Borgonzi this morning. Interviewing, this is the first of what I believe to be six general manager interviews, at least, that are lined up at the moment that we know of. And they don't have to share the names of people they're going to interview, but they've been pretty proactive in getting those names out there, which I think I definitely think speaks to how much they want the fans to know they're working hard. And they are working hard. Mike Borgonzi obviously has worked with Andy Reid, has picked some of the Chiefs players. This isn't a banner moment for Chiefs roster construction, but I think if you look at what they've done, built a winning roster around Mahomes, built a defense with essentially no salary cap wiggle room at all. Because part of having Mahomes, when you have Brady, you empty the clip, right? That the Bucs used all their salary cap space, all their money for the next 5 years to give Brady the best team possible. That's not hard to do. Now they're paying for it. Now they've got to MacGyver a team together out of, you know, duct tape and paper clips. In Kansas City, though, Mahomes is going to play for another decade, another 10 years. You can't borrow from tomorrow, because tomorrow, Patrick Mahomes is going to be your quarterback, and you're going to want to have a good team that can win the Super Bowl. When Mahomes gets to age 34 and you see the signs of the decline, then you can push your chips to the middle of the table. Until then, you have to sustain, and the defense they've built has kept them in games and won games this year. And I think they'll fix their receiver problem this offseason as well. I think there's going to be some people out there who wouldn't mind playing on a discount to join Patrick Mahomes for a season. So Mike Borgonzi, first up in the general manager interview sweepstakes. To review the rules here, teams who are still in the running in the playoffs can keep their guys on hand until the season is over. So there could be an agreement here with a guy, but he doesn't leave the team until after. That's not the big name. Let's run through a few of the other names before we get to the big name. Eagles Assistant General Manager Alec Hallaby. He's an interesting one. He is probably the most respected analytics mind available in this sequence. You talk about Moneyball or, you know, all those kind of forward thinking. One of the big NFL revolutions that's happened in the last two decades is when they put the zebra tracking chips on the players. Their uniforms now, their pads have the tracking chips embedded in them. You can see speed data, route data, right? You see it marketed to you as the next gen stats. They see even more on their end. How fast were guys running? How far were guys running? More of football is quantified than ever before, which is really, it's a really exciting time for people because you can now, you know, in the same way that baseball did in Moneyball, you can now differentiate between guys in ways you weren't able to do before. This receiver hits a higher speed. This receiver's crisper on his routes. This guy gets more separation. We didn't have that data before. He's one of the best at using that data. And don't worry about the Eagles meltdown. That's not on the front office. That's a coaching staff that decided that Matt Patricia was the answer at defensive coordinator midway through a season when they were trying to get the ship right. Bears assistant general manager Ian Cunningham is on the list. Browns assistant general manager Glenn Cook is on the list. These names don't mean anything to you, and that's okay. That's my job to explain these things to you. What you need to know is these are guys who have trained under personnel guys. Now, I don't have confirmation that they are interviewing with Cowboys vice president of player personnel Will McClay, but I do know there is mutual interest there. McClay's got an interesting job because he works for Jerry Jones, and some of you do know Jerry Jones. He's a guy who enjoys having the final say and taking credit for things. McClay has built a phenomenal roster. You don't hear a lot about him because Jerry Jones gives an interview every 12 seconds. But McClay's a big part of that. The question is, does he like that job and like that role, or does he want to get out and run his own shop? Now, you talk about culture guys. I don't know that somebody who's experienced Dallas for the last 5 years is an expert on winning cultures, but he's certainly in the mix. The big name is Adam Peters. He's the assistant general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. He's the prize. Last year, several teams tried to interview him, woo him, and he turned down all the interviews. So I'm not leaving San Francisco. Earlier this year, John Lynch, who is their head guy, was promoted into a vice president role, which would seemingly clear the way for Adam Peters to stay and become the general manager. But he's going to take the interview, and this is the intriguing thing. I had somebody point this out to me yesterday. This was on Twitter, but I had somebody say, hey, don't ignore this. Bob Myers, who's leading the coaching search here, Warriors general manager for a long time, does go back with Adam Peters. That's an in, right? That's not the reason he's here. This isn't Nathaniel Hackett to the Broncos in the hopes that he would bring Aaron Rodgers along. This is a connection that's going to potentially be very valuable to them. Adam Peters taking the interview is big news. He didn't take a lot of interviews last year. So the fact that he's considering this, he's the prize. He's the big name. And so it tells you right away, the Commanders, this is a respected job, and everybody's lining up to talk to Josh Harris and see what's up and see what's going on out here. I'm intrigued. It's a lot of names. You don't have to keep all the names straight. We'll keep you posted as we go down the search. But I did want to run down that because, you know, you talk to people, you gather the information. Takeaway, Josh Harris is in Miami today. He's talking to Mike Borgonzi. He's with the Chiefs. Adam Peters is the big interview. We're all waiting for that one. He's the San Francisco 49ers guy. If he wants the job, it would be very hard to see him not getting the job. We're back with more after this. Some other NFL items. I haven't gotten to Jameis Winston yet and his shenanigans, and we absolutely have to do that. We'll hear from Jerry Jones. Bill Belichick's, is he in or is he out in New England? Belichick watch enters day 3. It continues to rain. I continue to see if we'll bag this program early because it's slightly wet outside, and I think that's the fair thing for all of us to do. I'm embracing my soft side. If it means less work, I'm in. I think we're going to have to stay the whole time, though.
Work smarter, not harder. But yeah, if they tell us to go home, let's get our little booties on and throw on a poncho and brave it.
We're here till noon. We're here till noon. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Back at it, Tuesday morning, 10:33. Thank you for spending your Tuesday morning with us on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, and we are worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Phone lines open, 833-804-0910. If you want to make this show your show, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got an NFL take, a Commander's take, do you want Jim Harbaugh? Do you want VCU to win tonight? Gosh, please let VCU win tonight. I am tired of talking about VCU losing basketball.
We need a Rams dub so badly.
Would love a Rams dub in Fairfax. Historic rival there in George Mason. Back in the day, you're a music guy. You stand a chance at this. Do you remember Doc Nix and his Green Machine?
Doc Nix and the Green Machine. It's not ringing.
That was the George Mason pep band.
Oh.
And they had a full-on rivalry with the Peppas.
Oh.
Those were the two best bands. A lot of people would probably say in the nation, but he had Mason humming at a Peppas level.
Okay.
No disrespect to the Peppas. They were humming.
Yeah.
And they would both, when they'd show up to like the A-10 tournaments or the CAA, I don't know if Doc Nix even made the jump to the A-10.
Mm-hmm.
When they were at the CAA tournaments at the Richmond Coliseum, that place got rowdy.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad I missed it. I might have to do a little research on this one because I'm familiar with the Peppas, obviously.
Do know the Peppas. I know that.
Richmond,
Doc Nix and the Green Machine. I don't get nostalgic for everything. Like, I don't get nostalgic for the Richmond Coliseum, partially because it's still standing there as an eyesore that we see all the time.
Haunting reminder.
Somebody do something about that.
Yeah, goodness.
That CAA tournament setup, though, where Mason was good enough to make the tournament every year. VCU was good enough to make the tournament every year. And ODU was coached by Blaine Taylor, who just came straight out of Central Villain casting with the mustache and everything. I mean, they couldn't have casted that any better. You had a band rivalry, a football rivalry, a villain.
They found him tying a damsel to the railroad tracks and said, come coach.
Those were good times. Now, looking back on that in retrospect, the weirdest part of that entire thing was that JMU participated in all of those events, but was not a factor in any way.
Hmm.
Right? Because we think, like, I think they're 14-1 right now in basketball.
Incredible.
The football team it speaks for itself, obviously.
Go Dukes.
Bowl game, College Game Day was there. At no point were they in that mix, in that rivalry mix. They were there, but they weren't good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just funny as you look at like what everybody became.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have guessed. Oh, that team. That's the team that will become the biggest national brand. Out of this mix.
So the ones that are sitting on the sidelines, like, well, that sure looks like fun guys.
Yeah, they lose early. The one year they didn't. I'll get the details wrong. So this is just a gross mistelling of the story, but the coach was on the hot seat. Like, the coach was going to get fired after the CAA tournament. Somehow he like strung together four wins and won the thing and made the NCAA tournament, so they couldn't fire him that year, and he got to be coach for another year. Yeah, I mean, just one of the all-time job save weekends of all time. Like, entered the weekend fired, came out of the weekend NCAA tournament coach, and still wasn't any good. But you can't fire a coach who makes the NCAA tournament.
No, I suppose you can.
That's the goal. That's what you do. AWOD will know. We'll bring it up with AWOD. He'll remember Doc Nix.
He's so good with those detail pulls.
Well, he was a Mason guy before he was a VCU guy.
Well,
he lived.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Northern Virginia. He lived it. Yeah. It's a big game, though. Mason's a 4-point favorite, which is nonsense. VCU's a better basketball team. They have better athletes. They're a better team. They just haven't shown it. They haven't played the defense. We'll dive into that in hour number two. Bill Belichick is still the coach in New England, and he would like to remind you of that.
I'm under contract. Do what I always do, which is, you know, every day I come in, work as hard as I can to help the team in whatever way I can.
Peppy guy. It's That's Bill. That's our guy, Bill Belichick.
Colorful as always.
Colorful as always. I'm under contract. That's his stance on the situation. Somebody posted. It's like the Seinfeld episode where George breaks up with Susan, and Susan looks at him. No, I think it's time. I think it's time we should break up. No. What do you mean? We're not breaking up.
Right. That's Bill. I don't know what you're talking about.
But Bobby Kraft, he's in Belichick's office saying, Bill, I think it's time we should see other teams.
Oh, nope. Geez.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope.
I think I'm going to stay. Okay.
If he leaves voluntarily, he leaves like $15 million on the table. That's a stare down. We've got ourselves a good old-fashioned stare down here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who wouldn't leave a building and walk away from $15 million? Any of us?
Any of us.
Any of us?
Literally everyone
fire
in this
me.
Entire building.
If you want to fire me, fire me. Otherwise, I'll be sitting right here coaching a football team. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I always do and make this team better.
I'll do my best.
I'll do my best. As I always do, I'll do my best.
With a smile on my face for that much money.
He's never smiled. No.
Not. You can't get him to. Not all the money in the world.
He smiles occasionally. It's very weird. you don't see it coming. But he's under contract. He's obviously going to be highly desired and coveted by the other teams, but if he doesn't get released from his contract soon, this is musical chairs, and he's going to be left without a chair if the Patriots do fire him, which is kind of weird in and of itself, too. Like,
right.
Because once you hire a coach, you can't fire him because Bill Belichick finally got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a situation. Better situation, New England, the Jameis Winston situation. Actually, start with four here, Josh. This is Dennis Allen, coach of the Saints. The Saints and the Atlanta Falcons are rivals, going way back, blood feud. They don't like each other. And the Saints were leading the Falcons 41-17. It's a huge lead in the final minutes of the game. Coach Dennis Allen called for Jameis Winston, the quarterback, to kneel on the ball. And something happened, and they scored another touchdown. 48-17 is the final there. Everybody was unhappy about this. The Falcons coach was just very angry about getting the score run up on him. Here's Dennis Allen first, coach of the Saints.
Could you clarify, what happened?
We should have taken a knee right there. They asked me about getting Jamal a touchdown at the end. I said I wanted to take a knee. We put victory out there.
Could you clarify, what happened?
We should have taken a knee right there. They asked me about getting Jamal a touchdown at the end. I said I wanted to take a knee. We put victory out there, and the guys kind of wanted to get him a touchdown, and they did that on their own. That's unacceptable.
Here's Jameis Winston, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Quarterback who was
team
in the game.
Morale, and I asked the guys, I said, guys, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
We know how much Jamal means to this team, and I understood from DA's perspective, so I give him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but DA didn't condone that at all.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't. However, we decided as a team to do it, and, man, we got an interception to the one-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. So if we would have scored, would it have been disrespectful?
Right.
You know, when you return the ball to the one-yard line, and you have that opportunity. We just had the opportunity, and we decided.
There you go. Jameis Winston, who is in at quarterback as the backup because it was a blowout late, they're in the huddle. He says, hey, Jamal Williams doesn't have a touchdown this year. Maybe we should give him one. And so they did. The coach told him, just kneel on the ball. They went into the huddle, and they all decided, nah, let's score a touchdown. So the coach is mad that they scored the touchdown. The Jameis Winston, no apologies. And the team has defended him. Like, yeah, we all said, let's score a touchdown instead. I did a wild turn of football events there. Like, the coach calls the play in, and everybody's like, nah, we're going to score a touchdown instead.
I think we'd rather do something different, coach.
I think we're going to score the touchdown. Get this dude his first touchdown of the year at the end of the game. I have no... Now, that's its own issue where the coach tells the players what to do and they don't do it.
Right.
I'm going to set that one aside for a second. The Falcons whining about it, I don't have the time of day for. If you don't want a team to score against you in the National Football League, stop them from scoring. I got no... They should have been more sporting. You're paid $160 million
a year. They should have been more
supporting. Stop them. Yeah. That the Saints have their own issue here. I'm not dismissing
right.
that.
Right.
That's an issue.
That's for another day.
Coach tells you to do something and you don't do it.
Yeah.
That's an issue. But for the Saints, it's professional football.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't. Even in high school, it is occasionally the right thing to do to stop scoring, to run out the clock, to be sporting to the other team.
Absolutely.
That's not how the NFL works.
No.
You're a professional football outfit. If you don't want them to keep scoring, you should stop them from scoring.
Yeah.
Who was it that hung 70 on the Broncos earlier this year? The Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You just knew that was like some Sean Payton beef that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because normally in the NFL, they stop trying to score at about 50.
Mm-mm.
Not as a sporting thing, just like, let's give everybody the rest of the day off.
No, that was merciless.
Oh, yeah. They just kept it.
Brutal.
That was full-on beef. We don't know where that beef came from. That's some grade-A beef right
there. Yeah, somebody was mad at somebody, obviously.
Now, we know what this is. The Falcons and the Saints hate each other, and you had a guy who needed to get his first touchdown of the year, and Jameis Winston, who just doesn't care.
For sure, but Miami and Denver?
Wild. Why? Falcons-Saints next year, I don't want to be the referee getting that game.
No.
There's going to be some feelings in that game. All right, other side of this, we have a very important update on the Producer Olympics. We've been sitting on this all show. I can't believe it's taken this long to get to it. A very important Producer Olympics update. If Stubb wants to come back in here for this, he can. He's prepping for AWOD's show right now. But we'll do this with or without him. It's Tuesday. It's MP on the mic. We really appreciate y'all joining us. Fantastic show so far. Producer Olympics, very important update next. I'm so far behind the clock, it's irredeemable at this point. Let's take a break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hour number two, MP on the mic. Michael Phillips with you live from Richmond. We don't get to say that often, all of us hanging out in the studio. I'm a firm believer sports talk radio should be done from out in the world, and we've been accomplishing that, man. AWOD's been out at River City Roll, and he's going up to Fairfax tonight, and Capitol Ale House brought back Burger Night. That was big news yesterday. Thank you for sharing that with me. Because I remember it when I first moved to Richmond. That was I lived downtown right next to Capitol Ale down on Main Street. That was a Monday night go-to. Mojo's was my spot.
Oh, Mojo's.
I still miss Mojo's.
The Phillies.
The
Phillies at Mojo.
Yeah, Mojo's was amazing. And also, they didn't care. It was kind of like Popeye's before its time. You know, you just whatever they were going to make for you, that's what you were getting.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And you can only respect that, right?
So Monday night was wing night, and it was absurdly cheap, whatever it was.
I remember Monday wing nights.
You could get out of there for less than $10 and get all the wings you wanted, all the PBR you wanted.
Stuffed, yeah.
One time we went in there, and we sit down, and we place the order for the wings. They come back with the drinks, and like things didn't move fast at Mojo's ever, but they were taking longer than expected.
Okay, and that's saying something.
And at about 45 minutes, we were like, hey, what's up with the food, you know, mm-hmm. that we ordered? And they went back and came back. It'll be just a minute. Half an hour later, you know, we're at about like $1.15 now. Do you need more drinks? Well, no, we're kind of hoping for the food we ordered.
Yeah.
She goes back, and then she comes back, and she says, our kitchen caught on fire. We can't cook any wings tonight. Would you like a bag of chips?
Classic Richmond.
I love Mojo's, man. I'll ride for a place like that. I was over at O'Toole's last night.
Hey, that's another good spot, because you're in Forest Hill.
I am.
It's right there in Westover.
That's my spot. Yeah, great absolutely. Spot.
Do you ever find yourself a galley?
I've gotten the pizza from Galley. That's Stratford Hills.
Okay.
What I love about Richmond is there's nine neighborhoods in like a 1 mile range where I'm at, like Forest Hill Terrace, Westover Hills, Stratford Hills. You know, like they're all different. Like how dare you suggest that I go to a Stratford Hills restaurant when I live all the way down the street in Forest Hill Terrace?
What are you uncultured?
but where do you live? Chesterfield, Southside.
Southside?
Yeah, Goochland.
So I've got to be reminded here, Adam, How cheap are the burgers?
At
$2.95,
and then add bacon and beer cheese for $3.95. Monday nights
what?
Only, 3 to close.
For a quarter pound smash burger.
Smashed and seared.
Let's go.
Yeah.
$2.95, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we used to hit Cap Ale Burger Night all the time in college. It was, especially the downtown one. That's my favorite location. I'm at Innsbrook every Monday.
Yeah.
But I love the downtown location.
The
with
OG.
The games downstairs.
The OG, yeah. With the downstairs and all that. Yeah, I lived across from City Dogs for a while. All those downtown places with the vibe.
Yeah.
The Shaco City Dogs, the OG City Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one by Baja and Fujian.
Yeah, VCU basketball tonight on The Fan. VCU memories need some VCU wins tonight against George Mason. Mason will go off as a 4-point favorite tonight over VCU. That's the climb. That's the hill. First time since 1998, VCU has started conference play with 2 losses. And the stinger was that the Bonnies hung around and got the Spiders over the weekend. The Spiders got the Bonnies and played some stout defense and held St. Bonaventure in check. Which VCU was unable to do. That was the salt in the wound there, right? You know, Richmond's a decent team, but Richmond's not what we aspire to be here at VCU. To watch them win a game, JC, buddy, you got AWOT on? You got his mic on there?
So I was impressed by Richmond's win, and I do think it really came down to Neil Quinn down low.
Yeah.
Much better matchup against Chad Venning.
They denied
he had a better game.
They denied the pass to Venning, and it didn't look like there was a second play there for the Bonnies.
Right, and the way Richmond runs their offense, it's so slow and deliberate. Like
yes.
They're going to make sure they get a layup or a wide-open shot, slowed the game down, and it felt to me, because I was watching the game at the same time I was doing my VCU pregame show and getting set up for this, and it felt like anytime the Bonnies couldn't do what they wanted to, they sped things up and went too fast. Had a turnover, a terrible shot. You know, they were forcing things.
They didn't get the tempo they wanted, and Richmond did not allow them to force that tempo. Now, I think VCU's tempo is fast, naturally. I don't think tempo is the reason they lost. I think, as you mentioned, I mean, we got a guy who's like 6'6", 120 in there trying to guard Venning. You know, that's its own matchup issue. But I think VCU's speed is fast. It's just, you know, every time they'd get close against G-Dub, they'd get a basket just immediately on the other end.
There
was never, like, you need those rallies where, like, the fans just come to life and the place gets loud. It sure felt like G-Dub was just so good at killing every single one of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're a fan base here that for 15 years now, we're trained to understand what defense means, what great college basketball defense is with Havoc, getting stops and timely possessions, and we haven't seen that for a while now.
No, and I don't even need the full-on Havoc. Just a little ball disruption would be nice every now and then, just getting some lanes. The G-Dub game was frustrating. Their point guard, you know, kept driving, then driving right, shooting left.
Well, that's what we slept on last year is, you know, Jaden Nunn and Ace Baldwin were really good on-ball defenders. The best thing that they would do is when they would get beat, and it's not like those guys were not getting beat off the dribble ever.
It happens.
But Shulg is getting beat off the dribble, and he's not doing what they would do, which is reach from behind, strip the ball off the guy's knee, out of bounds. That happened time after time last year. Jaden Nunn, Ace Baldwin, Nick Kern, just kind of poking it, you know, from behind. And so they got beat, and then they, you know, helped defense. And we're not seeing that right now.
But you were down in Orlando. I thought the defense was good in Orlando. I think, like, not that, not Havoc caliber defense. I thought it was sustainable.
Well, you know what's different though is Michael Bell was playing 30 minutes a game in Orlando.
I did notice,
and
that.
He's our best on-ball defender. You know, it's tough because they're having to score also. You know, they have to play. It's complementary basketball
at
right?
that speed. Yeah,
and
sure.
So I think the reason Michael Bell is seeing less playing time is because he can't go get a bucket. Sean Bairstow can go get a bucket, but we're seeing him kind of get burnt on the other side. Same with Shulga. So, I mean, it's all about just finding the right lineup, the right rotations. But I go back to what I was saying earlier this week, which is the A-10 is tougher this year. Teams are going to beat each other up.
No question.
Maybe Dayton's alone at the top, and then after that, there's going to be a battle for second, third, and fourth place. Teams are going to have 4, 5, 6 losses. I mean, so you look at St. Bonaventure. They beat VCU. Then they lose to Richmond. we might go and beat Mason, right? And they looked really good for their first two games in the conference. So it's not over yet. It's going to be a long season, but you got to string some wins together.
After Dayton, you're going to have a lot of 4 or 5 loss conference teams. I think we all see that, but that's a reflection of the quality. There's quality top to bottom this year.
Because last year, the bottom four were just so bad.
They were.
This year is probably a bottom one, bottom two. Everyone else can compete. But look around the league. Like, Mason just hired a coach, right? So, UMass hired a coach 2 years ago. You know, these programs are building something, whereas VCU, we just lost everybody. Mm-hmm. We literally lost our entire starting five that won the championship, and we're trying to retool and regroup here and not rebuild while everyone else has already built something. So it kind of feels like, you know, they have a level up on us.
You're also in a very delicate time for the fan experience, too. We're coming back from COVID. They're dealing with a new coach. The prices have gone up. You know, the receding's gone up. Like, there's a lot of external pressures. You know, for students, like, VCU students go there for 4 years. It's a short memory, right? It's short institutional memory. The COVID kids don't have it ingrained in them. It's Tuesday night, we're going to the Stew. It's Saturday afternoon, we're going to the game. You've got to re-ingrain those habits.
And also, my friend brought this up. You know, when we were in school, not every single game was televised.
Yeah.
Now, every single game is televised. It's different. You know, people can choose to watch at home rather than, man, it's either Robbie or I go to the game.
The sports bar scene is way better.
Yeah.
You've got Wood and Iron, Capital Ale, you know, go down to River City Roll, the Rams House. Like, there's so many places to also have a good experience watching the game that aren't the Stew. And that's Ed McLaughlin's job, right? He's got to figure out how to make sure that remains the best game day atmosphere. Although apparently Doc Nix is still around.
Yeah.
You informed me.
Oh, yeah.
The
Green Machine. I believe I'm going to see them later today when I go to Mason. I'm really excited for this game. I give VCU a really good shot to win. I would take the bet. What is it? +4 on VCU?
You get 4.
Or take the money line. Go for the Rams upset here on the road. I just think they've got a real good shot if they don't go on these scoring droughts that, you know, man, it sucks because we thought that was a Rhodes issue, that the offense was a problem, and they'd go 4 minutes without scoring. The same thing's happening this year, and then they're not getting stops, and because of that, opposing teams are going on 9-0 runs.
Since we're here, I'll just do the hot take. I'd like fewer Sean Bairstow minutes. I just don't know that we're getting enough defensively out of Sean Bairstow. I'd like a little more.
Who are you replacing
him with? A
little
more mixing and matching. I mean, you mentioned Michael Bell's being a great defender. That's obviously not a straight up, but they have so many ways they can configure. And so, like, I mean, so many ball handlers and shooters. I think you can have enough offense even if he's not in the game.
I think you live and die with Sean Bairstow because he brings so much to this team offensively.
That's where they're going, for sure.
What was he, like 2 of 11 at one point last game? All 11 of those shots, I would take them every single game, all game. They were open, mid-range, or an uncontested three, or a layup that just went in and out. I mean, I think you have to live with it. Now Shulga, I would concede some minutes. He's been playing a lot to maybe a Fats Billups, or maybe Jason Nelson with a Zeb Jackson, or a smaller lineup, because Shulga, he's so good offensively. He's not being the one-on-one defender we need him to be right now, and because that's forcing a lot of switches and things like that.
Sean Bairstow, 2 for 10 inside the arc.
Yeah.
I'll take my chances that doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That absolutely feels like a one-off.
But we are seeing the two guys that came from the Mountain West. The A-10's a different ball game. It's quicker guards, and they're smaller too, and they're able to get to their spots. I mean, James Bishop, how many times did he dribble around the lane and then put up a layup eventually? And if you don't have a shot blocker in, it's going to be a problem.
No question. Spiders at Loyola Chicago tonight. They are 2-point underdogs. I like that too. I like a well-coached team against an average team every time.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from Loyola Chicago this year. You know, last year I thought they were going to be much better in the conference.
And they just weren't.
They were the worst, right? So maybe they take a step up this year, but you're right. I'd like the Spiders in that one.
I do like the Spiders in
that
one.
Now, Sister Jean will be in the building, though. Right,
she's so old.
She's still in the building.
She's
as long as
so
she's in the
old.
Building, I'm giving them a shot to win. They probably give her like 4 points towards the team. Right?
Do you know how old Sister Jean is?
I would guess 102.
104.
104?
104.
She was 102 when they made their run.
She was born in 1919.
Yeah. No, I
Dolores Schmidt.
I told this story on air that last year when I think they came to the Siegel Center, or maybe it was for the A-10 tournament, I got an email that was, if you'd like to interview Sister Jean, please respond right now.
She wrote a book.
Yeah, and so by the time I responded, though, they had already ran out of requests.
Everybody like, wants to talk to Sister Jean.
Yes. I slept on it. I was like, oh, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It was like when Vince Scully came to D.C., my co-writer with the National, he's like, go talk to Vince Scully, like, you'll kick yourself if you don't.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. You're telling me to break. Josh is telling me to break. She's 104. We can't break on Sister Jean.
No, I mean, I'm buzzing about this, too.
Show your respect.
I need to speak to a centennial human before I die.
There you
so
go.
I can get that
I'm
wisdom.
Not making it to 104. I promise you that.
No way.
All right. Back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. 11:18, it's a Tuesday morning, taking you around Richmond on this rainy day. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. Stay safe, stay indoors, enjoy the program, because we got a good one for you. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. Grant and Danny will drive you home on the Fan. Shout out to Kobe Turner, finished the season with 6 sacks in his last 8 games. He's now Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate for the Los Angeles Rams. Here's what annoys me about college football these days, and you know, the marketing of it. He was a Spider for 4 years,
uh-huh,
and a darn good one. He spent his last year at Wake Forest. Every time you see him on TV, hey, Kobe Turner making a play for the Rams, he went to Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, he didn't. He went to UR.
He went to UR.
He was a mercenary for a year elsewhere. Speaking of mercenaries, I'm in on Jim Harbaugh with the caveat. Like, Jim Harbaugh, I think we all agree, is going to explore his NFL options.
Right.
It's pretty clear after last night winning the Natty. I'm in on Jim Harbaugh because he's a winner. I don't know that's nothing Josh Harris mentioned yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Josh Harris mentioned yesterday at his press conference in Ashburn was culture and sustainability and empowered general managers. Like, you throw all that out the window. He did say, though, he's flexible to talent. Jim Harbaugh has talent. He's a winner. Everywhere he goes, he's been a winner. I don't doubt he'd be a winner here. Now, 4 years later, you've got a winner. He's burned all the bridges. He leaves town. You start over. Sometimes that's okay if you've got enough talent in the building. We were up in Ashburn yesterday. It was a Live from Ashburn show. After we went off the air, Josh Harris came in and chatted with us, the new owner of the Commanders, who he had a busy day yesterday, gathered the team at 9 a.m., told them, it's on me now. He said, the ball's in my court. Was what I talked to a few players who were in the meeting. They said, he said, the ball's in my court. I appreciate all you guys have done. I've got some tough decisions to make. I'm going to make them. He owns it now. It's his team now. The Dan Snyder era is fully gone. He's got big decisions ahead of him, right? Harbaugh, yes or no. Belichick, yes or no. These general managers. He is down in Miami this morning interviewing Mike Borgazzi, who is the Chiefs assistant general manager. So he's on the road already. Bob Myers of the Warriors, who he hired to assist his search, is with him. They're going to do a lot of interviews this week, both general manager and head coach. I think you'll see resolution quickly, but also, you know, some of these guys are on teams that are going to play for a while, so you may not see them in Ashburn, you know, in the auditorium for a little while. But there's something I've been curious about for a while and remain curious about, and given the opportunity, a microphone, and Josh Harris standing in front of me, I had to ask the question.
You've spent a year now with the Commanders, the branding, the name. Have you had discussions about where to go from there, and what have those been like in terms of the name and the branding?
Yeah, as you can see, we're a little busy. you know, in addition to basically picking a new head of the front office, a new coach, and I see Mark in the front. We're busy at work, working on the next improvements to our stadium in terms of fan experience, in terms of premium areas, and fixing a lot of different things and investing in the stadium. We're going to be rolling out a big investment program in the next few weeks, and there's an enormous amount of detail that the business staff and, you know, some of the ownership group are working on. And then we've got, obviously, our new home and thinking about that. And so right now our focus today is on sports first and foremost, and then these other things. And so, you know, those are our focuses right now.
That's a lot of words to not say no.
He answered a lot of questions, and none of them were the one you asked.
He was really good yesterday, by the way. He was, I thought, forthright. Answer. I was the only person that didn't ask about the coaching search, so I get where, like, that's its own thing, and we'll dive into that. He was really good, though, yesterday on the coaching search, took ownership, talked about his philosophy, had a good philosophy, coherent message, all those things. I was impressed. I came away impressed yesterday with Josh Harris. The demeanor's a little like he's kind of a little awkward. Like, you remember the handshake on Monday Night Football with Joe Buck? Like, he's got a little bit of awkwardness to him, but he's clearly one of the smartest guys in the room at all times. And I think part of being the smartest guy in the room is understanding you're not an expert in this field, so I'm going to find experts in this field so that we can run this process, so that we can get this right. So I asked the question. It was live on the radio, on television, on everywhere.
Yes.
And my Twitter immediately, like, I'm sitting there next to Josh Harris, and I just feel my phone just bzz. It doesn't stop. I'm like, sure, great. Here you go. Have you picked your jaw up off the floor yet after getting burned by Harris? I thought it was a great line. We're a little busy here.
I mean,
I liked it. I thought it was a good line.
To not. If you had to pick something to not answer a question with, that's probably the least harsh thing you could say.
Oh, I don't think it was disrespectful at all. No, right. I thought it was clever. That's not a question that's needed after a 4-13 season. Blah blah blah. Lots of people,
sure,
who support the name change. Of course, it's a passionate issue, mm-hmm, online. We've had Commanders for a full year now. I missed Awad's take yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, Awad's just over there smiling.
I think I know where he's at, though.
I think the kids would say, he fried you.
That was the consensus, that he fried. I thought it was a great answer.
It was
I mean, I thought it was an excellent question, because everyone wants to know.
Everybody wants to know.
When are you going to change this stupid name,
yeah,
that you didn't come up with, that Ron Rivera and a bunch of other idiots came up with?
There's inappropriate questions, right? Like, oh, this isn't the time for that. I don't know that we're announcing a coaching search is such sacred ground that you can't ask about a topic of general interest.
It was a brilliant question, but he just, like, took the question and he just punched you back in the face.
I think he'd been taking BP. I think he was in the cage working on that one earlier.
That was not the same guy that shook hands with Joe Buck.
No, you know, that wasn't the same guy who did the rest of the press conference.
Right, no. Right.
You know, hey, look, you're gonna go talk to some people. I'm a little busy right now.
Yeah.
Come back.
My favorite part of the whole clip, and see if JC has it, is Michael Phillips, Washington Times, and 910 The Fan, and then him, oh, we're a little busy. I'm sorry, 910. And then you have this great question here. We're a little busy now. We're gonna talk to Harbaugh, and we're gonna talk to Belichick, and we'll figure out this name thing in like a few years.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a bad name. I've tried. I try so hard. I try all the time. It's a bad name.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest thing about the topic, about this name, because, like, the diehard Redskins fans, Commanders fans, a lot of them are over it now. Whatever, call the name, just win. But, like, the casual sports fans, my mom's the world, my grandmother,
it so matters.
They hate the name.
It so matters.
Yeah.
The merchandise matters.
Yeah.
The name matters. The identity matters.
Right.
It so matters. And, right, so part of it is, whatever they pick, you're going to be a little salty because it's been Redskins forever. You've got your... And so I try to, like, all right, I'm giving it a chance. It's an objectively bad name, though.
Yeah.
It's just, it is a bad name for a football team.
I don't know. It's a thing. Like, my dad was a diehard Skins fan, so I grew up with the colors in the house, and grew up with the games on the TV. So, and
I don't think you have to go back to Redskins to have a good name, though. There's
exactly
a whole friggin' Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Pick a verb.
Right.
Let's try.
You have to hire a team that is from the area. That was the biggest issue of Jason Wright or all the idiots in the front office, is they went outside the box to a marketing firm that has no clue who Sean Taylor is, Joe Gibbs, or the Hogs. And because of that, they plugged it in their stupid computer, and AI came up with Commanders. The AI says, you're going to make a lot of money off Commanders. Go with it. Blah, 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 blah. It's the stupidest name ever. Fire everybody that came up with it.
It's a bad name. Fired. I think the reason Josh Harris kind of punted on answering the question is, why would you task this group with the next name? Like, Jason Wright's still there until he's not there at the end of, you know, whatever search happens here.
Right.
You're not starting this process until you get your people in the building.
That's not fresh until you do a regime change.
Exactly. You're not starting this until we're 2 years away. We're a year away from being a year away.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of Commanders left here. Oh, but if they win the Super Bowl, you'll get used to it. If they win the Super Bowl, we will have, like, that's like, you bring up the best case scenario. Like, if they win the Super Bowl, you'll look stupid. Like, I'll look stupid all the way to the bank after my ratings bonus. Like, this is a great problem to have.
If they win the Super Bowl, I will get a customized T-shirt that says 2024 Super Bowl champs, the Washington Redskins. That's what I'm gonna do.
Washington football.
I'm customizing
team.
It.
Everybody liked football team. Nobody had
they
a problem.
Did.
Nobody had a problem with football team.
Right. I believe Stubb brought that up yesterday. Football team works just fine and better than Commanders.
It's just, how did they pick a name with negative juice? That's actually hard to do. It's hard to do. I like Josh Harris yesterday. It wasn't a no. We ran that whole answer. That was a minute of him talking.
Right.
Yeah, right. No, he gave you a thoughtful response, too. A
very thoughtful response. Yeah. Wasn't a no.
Were you, like, shaking, though, when he initially said, we're kind of busy?
I've only shooken a few times. I'm trying to think, because I have before. I wasn't yesterday. I'm trying to think of instances, like, I've had athletes clown me before, and, like, I've been like, oh, I've gotten myself in one here.
Mm-hmm.
With the Nats, do you remember, what was his name? Dunn. Adam Dunn.
Yeah.
Adam Dunn.
Brought his son to the locker room.
Adam Dunn clowned me once in the Nats clubhouse.
Really?
I was like, oh, I'm not recovering from this anytime soon. Yeah.
I remember I got the shakes interviewing Dr. J. Josh, he's a basketball player.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
Oof.
I learned who Dr. J is.
What does it stand for?
I don't know. I don't know.
Really? Jay's, it's not Josh. He's not, you know, his name's...
I don't think Julius is a tough pull.
Oh, I was going to say Jones. I don't know, man.
It's his first name. Jay's the first name. All right, back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. All right, I told you earlier that Josh Harris is in Miami today interviewing general manager candidates for the Commanders. Mike Borghazi was first up this morning from the Chiefs. Nikki Javala reports that the interviews are happening at Josh Harris's Miami home, which I would guess is a lovely place. Four people scheduled to roll through. The names you need to know, Borghazi, Alec Hallaby of the Eagles. He's a big analytics guy. And then Adam Peters of the 49ers. That's a great sign. If he's going to fly from San Francisco to Miami to interview with the Commanders after turning down interviews last year, he's the guy in this cycle, right? He's the prize. He's the you know, Ben Johnson of this cycle. Of the general manager candidates, Adam Peters of the 49ers. He's going to fly out. He's going to interview with Josh Harris at his Miami home. I'm guessing that's not a shabby home. I'm guessing that that one costs a few dollars. I love Miami. That's an expensive place. Maybe a little South Beach action there, a little penthouse. You go to Miami and they have like a boat tour of the celebrity homes. So there's South Beach and then there's a string of like private islands. They're like man-made, but they're totally inaccessible. You can't go drive around on them unless you live there.
Right.
They do a little like celebrity home boat tour, and you know they ride you around the little islands, and it's like, this is Shaq's house, you know, this is Shakira's house,
wow,
you know, this is Josh Harris's house, all those things. And then you get to the biggest house on the island, and it's like, you see this? This house cost $280 million or whatever. Do you want to guess who lives here?
Man.
And everybody's like, man, like there's like Denzel or like the, you know, like who, like the most famous person you can think of. It's the guy who invented Viagra. That's what he does now. He has the nicest home on Millionaire's Row
Oh, no.
In Miami.
Yeah. I mean, that completely tracks, though.
I would guess he made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I would guess
he
made a lot of money.
He's still making that money, too.
I would guess the residual checks are still coming in. Counting you down, VCU basketball tonight, 7 o'clock up in Fairfax. AWOT will have pregame for you and halftime live from the Patriots Center. Big game for the Rams, 0-2. Looking to get a win over Mason tonight. Mason, 4-point favorites up there. I have all the action for you starting at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Richmond over at Loyola Chicago. I'll be curious to see if they can pick up a nice A-10 road win as well. Didn't dive into UVA yesterday because we were live in Ashburn.
That's right.
We had news. We had breaking news. But UVA lost on the road, NC State. Dennis Parker, a John Marshall kid, hitting the big shots for NC State down there. UVA struggling early in ACC play. Haven't quite gotten that offense rolling. I think we slept on how few shooters they've got on that team, how reliant they are on Isaac McNeely, and the few shooters they've got to contribute to that team. I'll be very curious to see how they rebound from that. You know Tony Bennett, of course, he's going to say, let's strengthen up the defense. But they've got the week off. They're at Wake Forest on Saturday. Be curious if they can get that offense right, get their shooting touch. Little over-reliant on the three, maybe. Then next Wednesday, you got that Tech UVA game. Always look forward to that. And if they're playing like they are now, I think Tech's got a shot at them. I would have told you preseason this was not Tech's year to have a shot at UVA. One program up, one down. But the way UVA's playing right now, I think they've got a shot. Hokies have Clemson tomorrow night, and they're treading their own water. 1-2 in conference play so far, on a two-game losing skid. We'll see if they can pull out of that. Their football program, though, is humming. We covered that when we got back from break. Things going very well for them. Wink Martindale is the New York Giants defensive coordinator. He's in a bit of a situation here. Wink Martindale is under contract for another year in New York. Brian Daboll, the coach, fired Wink Martindale's assistants yesterday. The guys who, like his trusted guys who he coaches with, said we need to clean house. But he didn't fire Wink Martindale, just told him to go hire new people. Wink says, I'm out of here, but he's not quitting. He's going to make Daboll fire him. This funny season in the NFL is the best. Like, we're getting ready for the playoff games. We'll mention the playoff games later in the week. These stories are the best, though.
Yeah.
You can't fire me. I quit. I don't quit. Wink Martindale, who is a respected defensive coordinator, Brian Daboll fired his assistants, the people he likes, but didn't fire Wink. Wink says, I'm not turning in my resignation. You're going to have to fire me, which they haven't done. I would love for the Giants to have an involuntary defensive coordinator this season. Guy who doesn't want to be there. These things always resolve themselves. But you've got a situation here where the coach doesn't want to be there, and they're not willing to fire him yet.
That's just a
little bit
of time.
There's a little bit of a Belichick standoff brewing, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money on that table. Nobody wants to make the first move and give up their share of it. You got, by some reports, as much as $20 million on the Belichick table right now. If he leaves, he doesn't get it. If he gets fired, he does. But the Patriots may want to trade him. But maybe nobody wants to trade for him.
But Belichick says, you're not breaking up with me.
All right. We didn't play this yesterday. Cut from the Commanders locker room. This is number 8 here. This is Curtis Samuel. We're not playing this because it's educational. We're playing this because it's entertaining. Curtis Samuel, Commanders wide receiver, soon to be free agent, on his life.
I feel like I've been a dynamic player. You know, when I did have my opportunities to touch the ball. I feel like I did a good job. I always feel like I could always do more, but you know, some situations don't allow you to.
What will you do to rest and reset?
Oh man. I'm really gonna lay on my couch for like a good 2 days and not have to worry about waking up in the morning. Honestly. You know, probably watch some shows and then try to go find, you know, some sand. You know, just look out at the water and just relax.
That's Curtis Samuel's plan for the week. If you need him, he's laying on a couch somewhere.
That's a damn good plan.
Yeah, I told him about the Odyssey app, so I asked him what he's going to watch. He says he's going to watch the new Percy Jackson series.
Oh.
There you go. Disney Plus guy.
That's a man of class. That's a man of taste.
Man of class and a man of taste. Absolutely. I'm sure he watched the title game last night. He's an Ohio State guy. He wouldn't have been thrilled about what went down last night, though. I was watching. Shout out to my friend Jeff Hassler. It was his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday.
So as we went over, we watched the game, had some people over. I got this. Everybody was rooting for Washington, but not like full-throatedly, you know. I didn't get the sense it was the kind of title game with juice. So you want on here? Yeah, let's get A-Watt on here.
I was rooting for Michigan. I will say, it was so great how early that game ended.
That was nice.
That was perfect.
That was a
treat. Like I watched a full football game, a little bit of post game, got a good night's sleep.
Yes.
It was the most like non-entertaining tight game though.
It was.
Right? Like I was watching with my friends. We were like, how many times is Washington going to punt down by one score? Yeah. Like they're ruining their chances here over and over again.
But when they went for it, they didn't get it either.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But Washington's defense was like, allow a five-yard run, and then like some corner would make like a spectacular play and shut down the drive.
Right.
And Michigan would have to punt. It was a weird.
And Washington had open receivers that Penix missed, and then they had open receivers that just dropped it. You know, it felt like Washington played almost like as good as they can without executing. Like they could have won that game. If they execute, they win that game. They had the right game plan. They just didn't execute.
Either team could have won that game. Let's bookmark Michael Penix. I want to talk about him in our final segment today. Finish the shout out though. Jeff had Hatch chili cheese and sausage dip. It had like a little bit of spice, a little bit of sausage, a little bit of queso. That was the player of the game. That was the highlight.
Perfect.
The Hatch chilies, you know, like from New Mexico, and like it's like a, you know, once a year delicacy kind of thing. I think they're spreading. Yeah, I think they're becoming more popular.
They're definitely getting popularity.
It was a good show for sure over at the Dip. All right, one segment to go. We'll wrap this up. A-Watt Radio takes over. Grant and Danny drive you home. You know where you're at. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.